Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Though the storms keep on raging in our lives, and sometimes it's hard to see the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassuring. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. Oh, but if the storms, they don't cease, and if the winds, oh, the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I realize sometimes in this life we're gonna be tossed, yes we are, and by the waves and the currents they may seem so fierce. Oh, but in the Word of God, in the Word, I've got an anchor, yes I do, and it keeps me steadfast and unmovable, despite the tides. Oh, but if your storms, they don't cease, that's all right. And if the winds keep on blowing in your life, just know your soul has been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. Yeah, yeah. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. Yeah, I know my soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. Yeah, see the billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway, cause He holds me fast. The dark, the day, the clouds in the sky, I know it's alright, cause Jesus is mine. My soul, I said my soul, and your soul, my Said my soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. Yes, it has. I know that my soul is in His hands. No matter what happens, I'm gonna stand. I said, my soul, my soul, my soul has been anchored in the Lord.
Amen. Not a second or another minute, not an hour of another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way that you who have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second or another minute. We can't wait another day. But Lord, we need you right away. Lord, if I ever needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I let slip while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have in need. You're my best friend I have indeed, and I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. The agony of being alone, the fear of doing things on my own, the tests and trials, Lord, that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the weight of trials that lean upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you I've got victory. Yeah. I need you now. I need you now. I need you right now, right now. I need you now. Another or another minute. We can't wait another day. Please make way. We all need you. Our families need you, Lord. Our children need you, and our parents need you. Please make way. Oh, right away. Cause when the time comes, I want you to know me. When the time comes, I want to be there. And when that time comes, I want to be ready. When Jesus comes to take me, when my Jesus comes to take me
so much, Stevie, for that. And our praise team, thank you so much. Whoa, that was just beautiful today. Kind of got caught up in it. It was beautiful. Just want to let you know that there is a JAY today with a social afterwards. And we're going to be having a business meeting right after sunset tonight. We hope you all come out for that. It won't be long. Let's turn, go right into our scripture. You know, we're right in the middle of this Daniel series. And I want to thank the Lord for my wife, Linda. Amen. Your first lady. And if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit speaking to her to choose this topic in the Bible Quizarama, we wouldn't be studying it right now. So I thank the Lord for her responding to the Holy Spirit and choosing such an important topic, important book like Daniel. I've just been so excited about our Quizarama team, and really, honestly, I would love to take first place, and I really believe we are. But the study of this book is just, man, the benefits. If we take last place, that's fine. You know, because what we're receiving from the study of this great book of Daniel, I tell you, it's just amazing to have to read this book over again, and I've just discovered so many new things that I didn't pick up before. And we're here today studying a little bit more about Daniel. I want you to turn to Daniel, the third chapter. Turn to Daniel, the third chapter. Wonderful book. Ellen White says that Daniel and Revelation are the two books we need to be studying more and more in these last days. We need to pay attention to Daniel and Revelation. So someone said, Pastor Mackey, you need to do a Daniel and Revelation seminar. And I believe I do, because it's hard to get all this information in 40 minutes here. But we're going to do our best. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. And do you have your Bibles with you? Daniel chapter 3, verses. We're going to read. We're just going to read verses 1 through 18, if you don't mind. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. This is going to be the meat of our sermon today. So I just want to read from the Word of God what the Bible says. Is that all right? Now, another thing, would you stand with me as we honor the Word of God and read? Would you just stand, just stretch out, stand with me as we read the Word of God, Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governor, and the captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood there before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the Jews, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then verse 18, but if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Our title today is They Didn't Bow, Bend, or Burn. Let's pray. Father, now have your way with these clay lips of mine and this tongue, Lord. Just help me, Jesus, as I deliver this message, Lord. And may the message be clear to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a real short memory of what God can do. Now, last week we were talking about the image and the different levels of the image, the gold, the silver, and we were going through the different nations. And at the end of chapter 2, there, we find that Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed that this is the one and true God. He exclaimed in verse 46 of chapter 2, verse 47, he says, he answered unto Daniel and said, Oh, of truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. You remember that declaration that he made at the end of chapter 2? Well, somewhere between chapter 2 and 3, he forgot what God can do. Somewhere between chapter 2 and chapter 3, he forgot the source of God's blessings. Somewhere between chapter 2 and chapter 3, he forgot how powerful this God was. And oh, how quickly we forget God who blessed us on yesterday. He forgot and probably misinterpreted the fact that just because God had done something for you, that's not the same as what you do for him. He thought that just because he had got a blessing from God and made a declaration about God at the end of chapter 2, that's not the same as serving God. See, God wasn't his Lord. That's why we need, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we need to make him Lord and ruler of our lives. So when Daniel chapter 3 comes, Nebuchadnezzar has let his success go to his head, and he builds an image. Builds an image of pure gold in the likeness of himself. Or his God, there in the plain of Dura. And he invites all the dignitaries to come. Now, why did he invite all these dignitaries? He didn't invite everybody to come out on the plain of Dura and bow down. He just invited the dignitaries. Well, I was reading a little bit more into this. I was reading some extra material on the book of Daniel, and scholars seem to think that there was some problems going on in Nebuchadnezzar's administration, that everybody didn't love Nebuchadnezzar. There may have been some problems in his administration, and people there were going against Nebuchadnezzar, so he thought he would invite those with power out on the plains of Dura. You know how we do. We call it politicking. We invite the ones with the power, the ones with the say-so, to come out. And so there they are on this plain of Dura. And this plain of Dura, some scholars seem to think it was a city. And some even say that it was a canal. It was named after a canal, but the name Dura is also the simple Babylonian word for wall. And Dur, D-U-R, is the word for wall, and the letter at the end of the word is the article. Those of you who know Greek, the article is the. So in Aramaic, so translating the phrase directly instead of leaving it as an unknown place name, it indicates that Nebuchadnezzar set up his image on the plain of the wall. But the question remains, what plane and what wall? Well, as I studied more into this, I studied the history. This book is causing me to just study and study and study. But I found out that there were actually two walls around that city of Babylon. There was a main wall surrounding the inner city of Babylon, the inner wall, about a mile long on each side, surrounded the central part of the city. Then the territory inside that wall was actually the city of Babylon. It was an urban part. And that contained many buildings and all your businesses and streets along the palace, and contained the largest temple there inside that inner wall of Babylon. Well, later I found out and I read that Nebuchadnezzar added an outer wall several miles around the city, and there was an open area between the inner wall and the outer wall. There was a big open area that Nebuchadnezzar used to train his army, and a place where they had parades and things like that. And this large open area between the two walls could probably be called the plain of the wall or the plain of Dura. And here in this big wide open area, he doesn't just invite anybody to come. But he invites specifically all those who have influence and power to come bow down to this image. And I even read in the background of the plain of Dura, there was the fiery furnace sitting there with smoke coming out of it. So the people knew that if they didn't bow down, that's where they would be. So here's Nebuchadnezzar making this summons to the people. But, you know, I just wonder, it begs the question, well, does the king really have all this power? Did he really have all this power to ask the musicians to, when the music plays, to bow down and worship this image? And all of them did that. All the judges, all the dignitaries, when the music would start, they would bow down to this image. They were summoned by the king. They had to attend this dedication ceremony. And this could have been a response to the rebellion that took place in that administration. So it is because it was because of fear that the people bowed down. It was because Nebuchadnezzar had attached to the commandment to worship him with an addendum of fear. He said, if you don't bow down, I'm going to burn you up. If you don't bow down when you hear the music, you see that furnace over there? That's where you're going to end up. So it was not that he was so powerful. The people that bowed down didn't so much like Nebuchadnezzar, but they bowed down because of fear. He attached this commandment to worship with the addendum of fear. And this is called worship by ultimatum. They were told, if you don't bow, you will burn. Now, there may be a lot of people here today who worship God because of fear. You worship God because you don't want to burn in hell. You don't worship him today because of motivation for your love of God. But you worship him because you don't want to be lost. I remember when I was raised, I thought that if I didn't go to church, that I would burn in hell and God would punish me. It was a fear of being lost that motivated me to go to church. And those some of you know who went to church with me, I see Edwin out there and Gerald, We came to church because we had to come to church. And you didn't have a choice. You came to church whether you were sick or not. You just came to church sick. But I later learned to realize that fear is not the motivator for us. Fear is not a reasonable cause for your worship. And fear is not sustainable, a sustainable motive for worship. Remember how they used to tell you if you go into the nightclub, well, your angel's not going in there with you. Your angel gonna stay by the door until you come out. They used to tell us that. But I believe that God is with us always. The Bible says you can make your bed in hell, and I'm there. So if he can be there in hell, he could be with you in the nightclub and deliver you from the nightclub. You see, they bowed because they didn't want to lose what they had acquired by themselves. See, Nebuchadnezzar had placed these dignitaries in their office, and their jobs were on the line, let alone their life. Perhaps you have a job, and you have been bowing to keep this job. You've been compromising to keep this job. But I'm here to tell you today that if you know God gave you that job, you don't have to bow. What God has for me, it is for me. And the message here is compromise. How many of us are compromising because of fear? Compromising because we've made a decision. How many of us are serious about our spiritual life? Nebuchadnezzar threatened those boys, and they could have easily compromised their faith and justified it to themselves. They could have said, well, everybody else is bowing down, and I'll just go along with the crowd. And I'm sure that there were those. They had friends among the administration that were bowing down beside them. Could you imagine them out there on that big field? And you had, the Bible says, extra reading tells me there were at least 2,000 people there bowing down. And you got these men who were just standing up among all the thousands of people bowing down. And I could just imagine their friends on the staff there looking up to them and telling them, man, hey, just bow down. What are you guys doing? Just bow, man. You don't have to mean it. Just bow. Just for a minute, just bow down. Nobody's going to know. It won't hurt if you do it this one time. What harm will it do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else? I'll do it in secret. No one will know. We even say, well, God put me in this position. Surely he doesn't want me to lose it. He gave me this job. He doesn't want me to lose it. Or how can I be a witness if I turn everybody against me? Or, let me just do it now and I'll ask for forgiveness later. Or I'll go, let's go through the motions, fellas. Let's just go through the motions, but not really worship God in our hearts. Because God knows our hearts. Because when we in Rome, we have to do like the Romans. You ever use any of those excuses? Compromising your faith? What about the Bible? Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what?
all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. New Testament, Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Or what about the other word in Proverbs? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You are pressured every day to compromise. We live in a world that's about compromise. We make up excuses for not obeying God to justify the things that we do. Everybody's watching these three Hebrews. Everybody's watching you. They didn't fall. They didn't bend. And they didn't burn. They could have conformed, but they didn't. They could have conformed and did everything everybody else was doing, but they didn't. But the Bible tells us we are to conform. Romans says that. It says in Romans 8:29. We are to conform, but not to the world. 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Oh, we're to conform, all right, but not to the world. World is trying to shape you into its image, shape you into its mold. We aren't to be shaped by outside forces. We were talking about this in our Friday night Vespers last night. We had a beautiful Friday night Vesper service that we're going to be having every Friday night for those of you who want to come join us. We talked about how difficult it was to keep the Sabbath now, and you may as well admit it. It's not the easiest thing. But we talked about those outside forces of the world who look at the weekend as a time to get away. And we talked about that sacred time on the Sabbath. You know, time can be sacred. When that big sun goes down on Friday night, guess what? Time becomes sacred. Your mind should switch gears right about then. Until Sabbath sundown. That becomes sacred time. There's nothing. The problem is there's nothing sacred now. There's nothing sacred now. Nobody respects you. It's all on television. Just, in fact, if you disrespect people, then your ratings go up. The more ugly and disrespectful you are, your ratings go up. You can't be a nice person on TV now. You won't get no ratings. We're allowing the outside forces to shape us. The more of Christ you allow to control your life and your mind, the greater the force to conform to him will be. Another lesson I've learned from this chapter 3 in Daniel is that God is not always going to protect you from trials, troubles, and tribulations. First Peter 4, verse 12 and 13. If we are faithful to him in the fiery trial, it will be worth it someday when we see him, his face to face. When we see him, it'll be worth it all. It may not be pleasant now on this earth, but we can be assured that Jesus is there with us, walking in the midst of the fire. And so there's Nebuchadnezzar, angry and enraged, and he even gave them another chance to bow. He says, you fellas must not have heard me. Let me play this music again. In fact, change the tune over there. Put on the Temptations. Maybe they'll bow. Change the music on them. Temptations came on. Hebrew boys stood firm. Didn't flinch. Didn't break out and move. Stood firm. Old Nebuchadnezzar got even more angry. Furious, Ellen White says, his countenance even changed. His face began to get contorted. Angry. Ordered these men to be put in the fiery furnace. And you know the story. Put those men, ordered the fire to be hotter than it was supposed to be. They say that back in those days, you know, Iraq, Iraq really is where it was. Babylon is Iraq. And back then they had oil all over the place. You know, now we got to dig for oil. But now they say oil was spattered all over the place then. And to make that fiery furnace hotter, old Nebuchadnezzar told them to take some of that oil and throw it in the fire. And the fire became hotter than it normally was. Even the men that threw them in the fire were killed. Killed them dead. And it was there that the fire began to burn. Could you imagine what kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is that? Just watching that furnace and knowing that you're going to be thrown in there. Boys got in that fire, and you know what happened. The ropes burn off. And they begin to have prayer meeting. They had praise service in the fire. King said, what's going on in there? He couldn't get too close because it was too hot. But he began to look from a distance, and he seemed to see another form in there. Another form, singing and praising God in there. And he had to admit, but he wasn't fully convinced. If you read what Nebuchadnezzar says, he says, one looks like the Son of God. See, his mind was still pagan. He still had a pagan mindset, so his thing was these gods. And you notice in chapter 4, he didn't come fully to realize God is the God of the universe until chapter 4. But he came to realize that this is a God. This is a God. He realized it. There was a God. Even in his mind, it was a God. But God is greater, and he delivered those boys. And they came out of that fire untouched. They didn't even smell like smoke. And you know how smoke gets in you. Smoke gets in anything. They didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even lose a hair on their head. He's able. And then Nebuchadnezzar gives the credit to God. King promoted them. God honored their faithfulness to him. God got the credit. God gets the glory. When you're faithful to him, God gets the glory. And Nebuchadnezzar stood in awe at the power of God and the glory of God. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, throughout the world without end. You can trust God. You can rely on him. And the message is clear. As Christians, we need to take a stand for God. It's not easy, never was easy for Christians. You can look in the book of Acts and see how these Christians were tortured. Times are good. For those of you who are having good times, we get complacent. Watch out. Don't take God for granted. Don't ignore him. Don't think that you deserve his blessings. Don't forget to praise and worship him. Even in the bad time when things seem to go wrong, don't get discouraged. Don't think that God is nowhere to be found. Don't blame God. Don't look to yourself for the solutions. God had a purpose for this fiery furnace experience. Just like God has a purpose for your life and your fiery furnace experiences. What is that purpose? What is that purpose? Let's keep looking in the book. Let's find that purpose. Let's turn to 1 Peter Verse 1, 5 through 7. What is that purpose for you? 1 Peter 1, verse 5 through 7. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, read this now, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, somebody here know what I'm talking about, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He may not save you out of the fire, but he'll always be there for you in your fire. How many of us today have compromised our faith? If I could just get just a little music right now. How many of us have compromised because of job pressure? You want to take back your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me today? Father, it may be someone here, Lord, who wants a closer walk with you. Lord, we may not be tested with the fire and the diet like Daniel, Lord, in the lion's den, but Lord, help us to realize that these compromises come small at first. Lord, help us not to give in, even when they're small. Help us to be able to stand, Lord, and claim the promises of your word, Father. Lord, you have given us the message of this church, the precious message of your servant, the prophet that you have given us, Lord. All of the doctrines that have been proven through the Bible, Father, you have given unto this church. And Lord, help us not to compromise. Help us to stand fast and stand firm when it comes to the Sabbath, Lord. When it comes to worshiping you and praising you. Help it all to make us more like Jesus. And that's what we want to do. We want to be more like you, Lord. Make us into your image today, Father, is our prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for loving us in spite of our old, ugly, sinful ways. Your love is unexplainable, undeniable. We thank you for that love, Lord. Help us to embrace it and realize that it's true. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.